Thank you, Father. Why don't you lift your hands to the Most High God and bless His holy name? Worship the King of Kings. Worship the Lord of Lords. Worship the resurrection and the life. Worship our Savior, our healer, our provider, our defender. Worship the unchangeable changer. Magnify His holy name. He reigns supreme. Praise His holy name. Give Him all glory, give Him all honor, give Him all adoration. It's because of Him that we are still alive today. Praise Him. Magnify His holy name. Bless Him, bless Him. Bless Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. May your name forever be glorified. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Lift your voice to Him loud and clear and say, Father, this very evening, do something special in my life. Open your mouth and cry to the Almighty. Even right now, my Lord and my Savior, do something special in my life. Blessed Savior, do something very special in all our lives tonight. Let this night be a night of very special divine visitation. Visit us tonight, Lord. Bless us in a special way. Do something great, something wonderful. Something marvelous, something divine in all our lives tonight. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. My Redeemer, you are worthy to be praised.
You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. My Redeemer, you are worthy to be praised.
You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. Bless your name. Thank you for January. Thank you for February. Thank you for March. Thank you for April. And now thank you for May. Father, accept our worship in Jesus' name. Tonight, in the lives of every one of us here, and those who are connected with us all over the world, watching by the internet, the television, or radio, please, Lord God Almighty, do something special. Let this night be a night of special divine visitation. Bless us like never before. At the end of it all, take all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Well, you can be seated for a while. I'm going to be asking you to stand later on. But those of us who are born in the month of May, you can stand on your feet. If you are born in the month of May, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you for your children born in the month of May. This month of grace. In all their lives, Father, please, be extra gracious. Let them find favor with you. Let them find favor with men. Wherever they go, let your favor pursue them. Give them a new beginning. A new beginning of glory, of fruitfulness, of greatness, of promotion, of joy, of breakthroughs, of anointing, of a closer walk with you. Father, be gracious unto them and let them serve you all the days of their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Well, children of May, shout another hallelujah. God bless you. You may please be seated. By the grace of God, if Jesus tarries, the June Holy Ghost service will be stronger than your enemies, part 6. The subtitle will be Victory Through Praise. Victory Through Praise. Now, I'm going to ask you to join me in a very special session of prayer before we proceed further. I was in Germany, and my wife of more than 50 years said to me, he said, "Darling, you are unusually quiet this morning. What's the problem?" I said, "Well, there's no father who would lose 19 children in a day and will not be quiet." He said, "What do you mean?" Because she hadn't heard the news that in a church somebody went in and shot 19 people. Because it doesn't matter the denomination. By the special grace of God, all Christians in Nigeria call me Daddy. So when any of them dies, it's my son that is dead, or my daughter. I'm going to ask you to join me in prayer. Because unless these killings stop, and stop immediately, even Nigeria may not leave. We're not talking about individuals now. We're talking about Nigeria itself. A bishop asked me some time ago, "Daddy," and it's a strange thing, only in Pentecostal circles do you hear a bishop calling a pastor Daddy. "Daddy, has God told you who will win the next election?" I said, "Sir, I'm not even sure yet there'll be an election. Because unless these killings stop, there may be no election next year. Are you prophesying, Daddy?" No. I'm not prophesying. I'm just reasoning. Because nobody will want to go out to vote if they are not sure they will be able to return home safe. I have seen war at close quarters. I've told you before, when some people were agitating for war not too long ago. There's nothing good about war. It's a terrible thing. But a nation may survive a civil war. No nation can survive a religious war and remain the same. That Nigeria may leave these killings must stop. So all of you who love Nigeria, I want you to rise on your feet and cry to God with all your heart and say, Father, let the killing stop. Open your mouth and cry to the Almighty God. Father, please, let the killings stop. That Nigeria may live, Lord God Almighty, let the killings stop. Let the killing stop, O Lord. Please, Daddy. Almighty God. Let the killings stop. Please, Lord, let the killings stop. That Nigeria may live. Let the killings stop. Oh Lord God Almighty, that Nigeria may live. Let the killings stop. Let the killings stop. Let the killings stop. Please, Daddy. Let the killings stop. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on Nigeria. Please, Daddy, let the killings stop. Let the killings stop. Let the killings stop. Let the killings stop. Please, Lord, let the killings stop. Thank you, Father. Let the killings stop. Let the killings stop, Lord. Let the killings stop. Please, Lord, let the killings stop. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Thank you. Thank you very much. Today we want to talk about Stronger Than Your Enemies, Part 5, under the subheading Habitation of the Almighty. Our text is going to be 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And while you're opening your Bibles, I want to really, really bless the name of the Lord for the wonderful testimonies we had tonight. God is increasingly answering my prayers. You know, one of my cardinal prayers is that my children will be greater than I. Now one of my children have been used of God to raise somebody who's been dead for 12 days. Ah, glory be to God. I was a sportsman, but I never went to the Commonwealth Games. And one of my daughters went and came back with gold. And God is answering my prayers. How many of you are sure your tomorrow will be all right? How many of you believe you'll be far, far greater than I? Let me hear you shout hallelujah. What a wonderful God we serve. House fair. Husband was there. Wife was there. The only child they had is there. And my God brought them out without a scratch. What a wonderful God we serve. My daughter just anointed a man with a goiter. The goiter disappeared before the morning. What a wonderful God we serve. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye have God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are a habitation of the Almighty. That is why you are stronger than your enemies. As usual, we will break our ministration into two parts. Those who are yet to give their life to Jesus, and then the rest for the rest of us. You become a treasure even to God himself. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says, concerning those of us who are Christians, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's something in you. Your body is made of mud. You are an earthen vessel. But when Christ is dwelling in you, then you have a treasure in that earthen vessel. So that the power that you begin to demonstrate will be of God. The excellency will be of God, not of you. When somebody is born again, when somebody invites Jesus into his or her heart, that fellow becomes a treasure to God. So according to Zechariah chapter 2 verse 8, Zechariah chapter 2 verse 8, anyone who touches that fellow is touching the apple of the eye of God. Because you have treasure in your earthen vessel, because the Almighty is dwelling in you. Anyone who tries to harm you is playing with the apple of the eye of God. And so God will protect his own. According to Zechariah chapter 2 verse 5, Zechariah chapter 2 verse 5, he said he will build a wall of fire round about you because of the treasure that is in you. When you go to houses in Moshin and Ajegunle, and don't think I'm looking down on them, as where I used to live, before I came to the camp. So I'm part and parcel of them. You don't find many houses in Moshi with walls built around the houses. You know why not? What is the thief coming to steal? But go to Ikoyi, go to VI, go to Lekki. Many a times you wonder whether, as a matter of fact, you'll be wondering how many prisons have we in Lagos? Because we see houses surrounded by huge walls, and on top of the walls, barbed wires of the sharpest type. Why? Because there are treasures inside. Treasures. If a man has only two pairs of trousers, two shirts, and a third class or third hand bicycle, does he need a bodyguard? They want to steal the bicycle, the kind of bicycle we call keke lemu. Come on, see. Why do we surround our president, our vice president, our governors with so many people, bodyguard? Because they are treasures. Treasures. I remember years ago when I was the president of PFA, and some criminals were targeting bishops all over the place. My people called a meeting and said, "Sir, you need bodyguards." I said, "What for?" They said, "Because we're a treasure to us." I told them I have bodyguards that you can see. At least two of them. When you are a child of God, you are a treasure. Because of what is in you, greater is He that is in you. So God will defend you, build a wall of fire round about you. He will defend you from above. Joshua chapter 10, from verse 6 to 11. Joshua 10, 6 to 11. The children of Israel were fighting a war, and God began to rain bombs on their enemies. The Bible said by the time the fight was over, those that were killed by God directly were more than those that were killed by men, because the men were killing with sword, but God was breaking the head of the enemies with stones from above. Some of the old people will remember this case very well. A man and his wife came to church, and after some time we didn't see the wife anymore. And we went to do a follow-up. "Sister, why are we not seeing you?" She said, "Since I started coming to your church, I could no longer fly." When you're a child of God, the witches in your home will no longer be able to fly, because God will be defending you from above. And He will defend you even on earth here below. In Numbers chapter 16, verse 24 to 33, Numbers 16, 24 to 33, when some people rose up against Moses, God asked the ground to open its mouth and swallow them. And He did. And I'm decreeing today that if there are enemies present in your body right now, the ground will open its mouth and swallow them.
if God is not in you, if you're not a child of God, you have not invited Jesus into your heart, then you are really of no value, have no treasure in you. And so the enemy is free to do whatever he likes with you. In Judges 16, verse 18 to 21, Judges 16, verse 18 to 21, when God departed from Samson, the enemies moved him. They bound him. They plugged out his eyes. He became a prisoner. I still remember very clearly as yesterday, the chief, not too far from here. Why are you wasting your energy praying for him? It's not one of mine. I told him, sir, I thought you said you were a Christian. Because God asked me to ask him some questions. The time I asked the question, he said, I shouldn't come again. Are you a child of God? Is God dwelling in you? Because if he's dwelling in you, there'll be special protection for you. But if it's not, there's no treasure in you, and the enemy is free to do whatever they like with you. So, if you are here, because we have quite an assignment tonight, if you are here and you have not yet given your life to Jesus Christ, it's in your own interest to choose. It's either you invite him into your heart and become a treasure to God, or keep him out and you're on your own. So I'm going to count from 1 to 15 because I can see that some of you are very far away. Before I say 15, if you want to surrender your life to Jesus, you want him to come and dwell in you, you want to say bye-bye to a life of sin because he will not dwell with sin, then before I say 15, come and stand before me. I will pray for your salvation before we proceed further. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, you want him to come and dwell in you, I'm counting now. 1, 2, 3. The choice is yours. You want to be a treasure to God, or you just want to be someone who is not worth anything to God? The choice is yours. 4. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine.
9. Ten. Eleven. Twelve. Thirteen. 14. 14. Amen. Well, those of you on the way, keep coming and pray as you come. Those of you already in front, cry to the Almighty God. Tell him, I want you to come and dwell in me. Jesus Christ, save my soul, come and dwell in me. I want to be one of your children. Save my soul today, forgive all my sins, and come and make your abode in me. Talk to the Almighty God. And those of you on the way, keep coming, pray as you come. And the rest of us, let's stretch our hands towards our brothers and sisters and pray that God will save their souls, that God will have mercy on them, that the Almighty God will wash them clean with his blood, that they too will be accepted into the family of God. Please pray for them. Pray for them. Those of you on the way, keep coming, but you have to hurry up now. Thank you, Jesus. Keep coming, keep coming. You are not late yet. Just make sure you get here before I finish praying. I want to pray for salvation now. So if you are coming, hurry up. Oh yes, you need Christ in you for you to become a treasure to God. Cry unto him, save my soul, come and dwell in me, come and dwell in me, come and dwell in me, make me one of your children, wash me clean, O Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Savior, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your word. And thank you for these people that have come forward to surrender their lives to you. Please remember your promise that whosoever will come unto you, you will no wise cast out. They've come to you now, Father. Please receive them in Jesus' name. Have mercy on them. Save their souls. Let your blood wash away their sins. Please write their names in the book of life. Accept them into the family of God. And please don't let them ever backslide into the world. From now on, anytime they call on you, please answer them by fire.
In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Now, those of you in front, let me hear you shout hallelujah. I want to assure you from now on, by God's grace, I'll be praying for you. So the counselors will give you a card that you will please fill, so I can have your name, your address, and your prayer request. And I'll be praying for you from now on. God bless you. We'll wait for you till you finish filling the card before we proceed further. And I can see one or two still coming. Keep coming. You are not late yet. Come. The Almighty God will save your soul. And while we wait for them, they'll be showing us a clip of the little contributions that we are making to the society by the special grace of God. God bless you.
Was done in Kirikiri Maximum Security Prison. Several communities all over Nigeria have benefited from this initiative. The aim of the CSR is to establish food kitchens across Nigeria, hoping to feed 2 million people weekly, predominantly children.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, man. Good try.
chapter 4, verse 4, said, "You have God, little children, and you've overcome. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." When God is seated on his throne in heaven, he's in absolute control of the whole universe. Because he says in Isaiah chapter 66 verse 1, he says, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool." So he's sitting in heaven and the earth is absolutely under his control, under his feet. When he stands, his enemies begin to scatter. According to Psalm 68, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 68, 1 to 3. "Let God arise, and his enemies will scatter." Now, when God begins to move, the earth begins to tremble. Because like I've told you before, when someone is sitting in heaven and his leg is touching the earth, that will tell you how long the legs must be. So when he begins to move, the earth begins to tremble. Psalm 18, verse 6 to 7. Psalm 18, verse 6 to 7 tells us that when he hears the distress call of his own, and he gets up to act, then the earth will begin to tremble and to shake. When God is passing by, he distributes miracles. Like in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52, Mark 10, 46 to 52, he was passing by when Bartimaeus cried out. And that day, the blind man received his sight. Now, when God arrives at wherever he's going, there will be an earthquake. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, from verse 25 to 39. Acts 16, 25 to 39. Paul and Silas were in prison. They began to praise God. God arose from his throne and came to pay them a visit. And there was an earthquake. At the end of the incident, the enemy that was asked to keep Paul and Silas secure became their servant. Those who threw them to prison had to come and beg them to get out. So I want you to imagine what happens when God comes into a place and decides to stay put. When he's in heaven, he's in control. When he arises, his enemy scatters. When he begins to move, the earth begins to tremble. When he's passing by, miracles will be happening. When he arrives, there's an earthquake. Suppose he now comes in and he says, This is where I will dwell. I'm not going anywhere anymore. I'm sitting down here. That's why Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, Colossians 1 27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If God decides to come and dwell permanently in you, there's only one thing you can expect from then on, and that is glory. Some years ago, there was political unrest in a particular state, and they were burning houses, killing people. But there was a particular town that they left untouched. Ten kilometers to the right, there was another town. Burning and killing and looting. 20 kilometers to another side, another town. That one was even more terrible. To the left, to the right, front, back. But there was this town. Everything was peaceful. So one of the traditional rulers sent to this king and said, "What did you do?" He said, "Some people came to my town to hold a program, and I've decided that Jesus will reign in my town. When the Prince of Peace is reigning, there can be no trouble." I'm going to ask you to pray your first prayer tonight. And every prayer you pray tonight, you better pray hard. I want you to stand on your feet and cry to the Almighty God and say, "Father, King of Glory, come and dwell in me permanently." Open your mouth and cry to the Almighty God. Come and dwell in me permanently, permanently. Come and make your home in me. Come and dwell permanently. Come and dwell in me permanently. Come. Don't just come to visit. Come and dwell in me permanently. Permanently. Come and dwell in me. Come. You are welcome. I open the door of my heart to you wide. Come to stay. Come and dwell in me permanently. Permanently. Come and dwell in me permanently. King of Glory, come and dwell in me permanently. Because I know if you dwell in me permanently, the only thing I can look forward to will be glory. Come and dwell in me permanently. Come and dwell in me permanently. King of Glory, come and dwell in me permanently. Come and dwell in me permanently. Thank you, Father. And so shall it be in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, if Jesus comes to dwell in you, what does it really mean? Number one, it means the great healer himself has come to dwell in you. When he's passing by, he heals. Mark chapter 5. Verse 25 to 34. Mark 5, 25 to 34. he was passing by, a woman with issue of blood came from behind, tore the hem of his garment, and was healed. In John chapter 9, verse 1 to 7, John 9, 1 to 7, he was passing by, he saw a man who was born blind, and gave him two new eyes. Many times when you read this story, some people think this is just something happening, or something that happened years ago is still happening today. When he's visiting a particular place, in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, Mark 2, verse 1 to 12, when the news spread, the great healer is in this house. There was a man who was paralyzed from neck downwards. His friends carried him in. As soon as he got to the presence of God, the one who was carried in left on his own, carrying his bed with him. And it's not a question of him coming once in a while now. We're talking of a resident healer. Because some of us might have private physicians, doctors who can call anytime you are sick. But he may travel. He himself can fall sick. On his way to attend to you, it may be too late. But when the healer himself is dwelling in you, the story becomes different. Told you the story before you pray your second prayer. Years ago, we were going to hold a program in Port Harcourt. And the Lord spoke to me and said I should go and stay in the house of a brother. At that time, the brother was not even a member of our church. I said, yes, Lord, because I must obey him. But I was wondering, I have many children of my own in the town. Why must I go to the house of this man? Anyway, I told him, God said I should come and stay in your house. And he was overjoyed. And I got there. I discovered he has some children. One of them, the firstborn boy, became very friendly with me. And one day as I was going for the crusade, I heard the sound of the car coming in. I thought the children were coming from school. I looked out, where is my friend? Oh, your friend is in hospital, he's dying. And what happened? He was poisoned in school. And immediately I heard God say, that's why I asked you to go and stay in the house. I went with them to the hospital on my way to the crusade ground. He was lying naked in a private room. The AC was fully on, and yet he was sweating like nobody's business. I was standing by the head of the bed to pray for him. And the father was standing at the foot of the bed. The doctor was standing behind the father. I looked at the doctor. The doctor made a sign to me to say, no hope. But my daddy has already said, that's why I asked you to go and stay in the house. I went to the crusade ground. We finished the crusade. I came back home. As I was about to settle down, I heard the sound of a car coming. My little friend had been discharged. Stand on your feet and cry to the Almighty God and say, Father, thou the Lord that healeth? Come and reside in me. Cry unto him. Come and reside in me. Come and reside in me. Come and reside in me. There are things doctors cannot do, but you are the great healer. Come and reside in me. Come and dwell in me. If you dwell in me, I will overcome sickness. I will overcome disease. Come and dwell in me, Lord. Come and dwell in me. Come and dwell in me. Come and dwell in me. Almighty God, come and dwell in me. Come and dwell in me. If it's dwelling in you, you will overcome sickness, you will overcome disease. Come and dwell in me. Dwell in my house. Dwell, Lord. Dwell. Before sickness could come, come and dwell. Before disease can come, come and dwell. Come and dwell, Lord. Come and dwell in me. Come and dwell. Come and dwell with me. Thank you, Jesus. Come and dwell, Lord. Come and dwell in me. So that sickness and disease will have no power over me, I can overcome. Dwell in me, dwell in my wife, dwell in my children, come and dwell in my home. Come and dwell, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Christ in you means you have a resident protector. Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10, Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10, calls him the Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts himself. When he travels, he does not travel alone. Revelation chapter 19, verse 14. Revelation 19, verse 14 tells us the armies of heaven follow him. So you can imagine what happens when he's dwelling with you. The army, his army of bodyguards will be there. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 17, 2 Kings 6, 8 to 17, when an enemy army, came to arrest Elisha, and the servant went out and saw that they were surrounded, and he said, "My master, what shall we do? We are done for." The Bible said Elijah prayed and said, "God, please open his eyes." When his eyes were opened, he saw horses of fire, chariots of fire, invisible bodyguards. When Christ is dwelling in you, when you genuinely allow him to dwell, he will not just protect you, he will protect those who are connected with you. Because of you, he will extend the protection to those who are precious to you. I told you the story before. I think I was in a country in East Africa. We're going to dedicate the church of a bishop of another ministry. And because of the traffic, they gave me outriders, policemen to ride ahead. And as we were going, this policeman, young man, rode across to the junction to stop the traffic for us to pass. But all of a sudden, whether the driver couldn't control himself or whatever, a car came and just crushed him, flung him from the motorcycle. The motorcycle itself was a write-off. I'm sure before the boy hit the ground, he was dead. Oh God. I said, Lord, but it's with me. It's with me. It's part of my entourage. If it were my own program, I would have canceled the program. But it was another man's program. So we went for the program. In the meantime, they carried the lifeless body away to the hospital. After we finished the program, as we came back home, I was asking the people, this young man, is he married? Has he children? What can we do to help him? Because he died because of us. And they said they will find out. And the news came back. They took him to the hospital dead, but within minutes, he came back to life. No bones broken, no scratches, and I saw a car run over him at high speed. Stand on your feet. Lift your voice to the Almighty God. I said, Father, Lord of hosts, abide with me. Open your mouth and cry. Lord of hosts, abide with me. Abide with me. Lord of hosts, come and abide with me. I know if you abide with me, your own heavenly security guard will abide with me, and with mine, you will keep me safe, you will keep mine safe. Come and abide with me. Come and abide with me, Lord. Come and abide with me. 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 Come and abide. Come and abide. Come and abide with me. Lord of hosts, please come and abide with me. Come and abide with me. Lord of hosts, come and abide with me. Come and abide with me. Come and abide. Come and abide with me. Come and abide with me. I need you, Lord. I need you in my life. I need you in my home. Come and abide with me. Particularly at these dangerous times, Lord, come and abide with me. Come and abide with me. Lord of hosts, come and abide with me. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. If Christ is dwelling in you, what does that mean? It means you have a resident life in you. Because he said in John 11 verse 25, Thank you, Father. Lord, said there's someone who came here tonight with tremendous heat inside your body. You said maybe you didn't notice, but the heat is gone. Thank you, Father. Lord said there's a woman here. He said, according to doctors, your womb is totally dead. He asked me to tell you, he has given your womb a new life. Oh. Thank you, Almighty. Daddy asked me to tell someone, in spite of rugged resistance from your family members, you will be great. So let them resist as much as they like. You will be great. John 11:25, Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. So if the one who is the resurrection and the life is dwelling in you, if death comes knocking, you just tell the resurrection and the life to go and open the door. And when he opens the door and death sees him and says, oh, I don't know you live here. He says, oh yeah, it is where I reside. Death will back off. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 17 to 24, 1 Kings 17, verse 17 to 24, in the story of the widow of Zarephath, when death came to steal her son, she handed the matter over to Elijah because he knew Elijah had connections with the one who is called the resurrection and the life. And of course, you know the end result. The child came back to life. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 18 to 37, 2 Kings 4, verse 18 to 37, in the story of the Shunammite woman, when her son, the only miracle son, died, they sent for Elisha. He came. And of course, the child came back to life. But in the case of Jesus dwelling in you, they won't have to send for him. He's already inside. In the case of Lazarus, they sent for him. He said, I'm still busy. I will come. But if he's dwelling with you, if he's inside of you when death comes, death has no option. Death has to leave you. I decree today that every one of you that they say will die, you will not die. You will live and do the work of God. You remember the story of that young man when they heard Festac in Abuja several years ago. And on their journey back, they had an accident and several people died. This fellow didn't die, but he was unconscious. They carried him into the hospital. And he was in a coma for several days. They couldn't bury him because he was still breathing. But he wasn't here at all. He was far gone. But once in a while, he would seem to come up. And when he opens his mouth, one word will come out. Jesus. Then it will relapse again. I may be gone for 2 days, 3 days, and then it will seem to come up again and say, Jesus. They couldn't bury him because he was still breathing. You can't bury a man who is breathing. That went on for weeks. Until one day he came up again and said, Jesus, and opened his eyes. Because the resurrection and the life was in him. When death came, death couldn't take him. Stand on your feet and cry to the Almighty God and say, Father, the resurrection and the life, come and dwell in me. Come and dwell in me. Come and dwell in me. Make my heart your throne. Make my heart your throne. Come and dwell in me. Come and dwell in me. Come and dwell. You, the resurrection and the life, come and dwell in me. Come and dwell in me. Just come and dwell in me. Make my heart your throne. Make your throne in my heart. Sit down there. Reign in me. Reign in me. Reign. Come and reign in me. Come and reign in my heart. So I won't have to fear death because I know the resurrection and the life is dwelling in me. Come and reign in me. Come and reign in me. Come and reign in me. Thank you, Father. Come and reign in me. That wherever I go, I know there is life, the God life, the resurrection and the life himself is dwelling in me, seated on his throne in my heart. Come and reign in me. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. If Christ is living in you, if the greater one is dwelling in you, what does it mean? It means you have resident faith. The faith that is the kind of God's faith. Because Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, he is the author and finisher of our faith. The author and finisher of our faith. If the author and finisher of faith is dwelling in you, suddenly you have the kind of faith that is beyond the ordinary. And according to Mark chapter 9 verse 23, Mark 9 23, suddenly you find yourself in the same category as God himself. The category of the Almighty. Because Jesus Christ said, if you have faith, all things are possible to him that believes. If you have faith. In Mark 11, 22 to 23, Mark 11, 22 to 23, he says, if you have the kind of faith that God has, then you can say to mountains, move, and mountains will obey. You need that kind of faith. I need that kind of faith. The kind of faith that everybody will say, your own faith is different. I've had people say it before. And I'm sure very soon they'll be saying it of you also. The faith that will cause God to move, the faith that will activate, that will compel God to do something for you. Several years ago, when I first became general vice, I was visiting our little churches here in Lagos. And I was visiting 2-3 churches in a day. So we got to Alagbado first. Finished there and moved on to somewhere else. A woman came after we left and said, I heard that there's going to be a program here. That's why I've come this hour. They've come and gone. And she began to roll in the ground, weeping. Woman, why? What's the problem? She said, I told God. I'm not asking the man of God to pray for me. I just want to set my eyes on him. I told God, if I can just see him at a distance, I know I'll be pregnant. Oh, they said, we had an announcement that tomorrow is going to be at such and such a place. She said, is that true? They said, yes. I said, wonderful. Before the church opened the following day, she was there. And then we came in. All of us were dressed alike. She didn't know who is who. But she knew that sooner or later, they will introduce the man who's going to preach. As soon as they introduce us, and we step on the pulpit, I've seen him. My problem is solved. That man, she became pregnant. Stand on your feet and cry to the Almighty God and say, Father, that kind of faith that can move mountains, let it dwell in me. Let it dwell in me. Let it dwell in me. That kind of faith that doesn't need the prayer of anybody, that kind of faith that will get miracles done without any body interfering, that kind of faith that will move mountains. Lord, let it dwell in me. Let it dwell in me. Let it dwell in me. Kind of faith, Lord, that can get results every time. Kind of faith that will make the impossible possible. That kind of faith that will put me on the same category as the Almighty Himself. Let that faith come and dwell in me, dwell in me, dwell in me richly. I need that kind of faith. I need that kind of faith. I need that kind of faith. You are the author and finisher of faith. Come and dwell in me, and that faith will be mine. Come and dwell in me. And I will have that faith that can move mountains. Lord, come and dwell. Come and dwell in me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. And so, if Christ is dwelling in you, that means you have in you resident peace. Why? Because according to Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, thank you, Father. The Lord asked me to tell someone, you are down today, but not only will you bounce back, you will bounce higher. The Lord asked me to tell a pregnant woman, he said, just now the baby in your womb jumped. He asked me to tell you it is because he's going to be my servant. So take good care of that baby. I want to say amen to this before I tell you. Because the Lord said, there's someone here tonight, he said, I will yet use you to shake the world for Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 calls Jesus Christ the Prince of Peace. So if he's dwelling in you, you have peace. The kind of peace that the Bible says passes all understanding. Philippians 4:7. See, it is the peace of God that passes all understanding. It comes through Christ Jesus. It's the kind of peace that allows you to sleep even when there is a storm. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Mark 4, 35 to 41. Jesus was sleeping in a boat, and there was a storm. Everybody else was worrying, but he was enjoying his peace. People have asked me, how have you been able to have a normal blood pressure all these years with all your children, with all the parishes and branches of Redeemed Christian Church of God all over the world? Because the Prince of Peace is in me. It doesn't matter what's happening, I sleep fine. I've never lost my sleep over any problem. In any case, weeping may endure for a night. Joy is coming in the morning. Peace. I told you the story before. I was traveling to London. We got to Heathrow. We are fastening our seat belts. In our beloved Nigeria Airways of blessed memory, when the captain said, ladies and gentlemen, we have a little problem. What's the little problem? The door in the belly of the plane refused to open. That means the landing gear can't come out. And when you have problem in an aeroplane, in the air, there's nowhere to park. All of a sudden, there was confusion. I was traveling first class because somebody bought the ticket for me. That day, I knew that rich people don't want to die. All those who have been pretending that butter cannot melt in their mouth. All those who have been laughing, laughing in a very special way. All of a sudden, they began to scream. I still remember one woman who said, Oloro, I'm going to take care of my grandchildren. Nobody asked her. And there was one man, since we left Ikeja, he had this golden walking stick. The head had some diamonds on it. He has been getting up, pretending to go to the toilet, just to show us the walking stick. But this time, he really wanted to go to the toilet. He got up and the hostess said, "Sit down, sir." He said, "Who said so?" Now I will tell you the truth. Even myself, I was frightened. And I said, "God, you didn't tell me this how this thing will end. When I was saying bye-bye to my son at Keja, you didn't say that's the end." And God spoke to me and said, "No, it's not the end. I want to talk to you. And I know that as soon as you land in London, they won't let us talk." "Oh, is that so?" Suddenly, peace came. I pray for somebody here today. The peace of God that passes all understanding shall invade your heart. And so that day began to talk to me, began to tell me some things. "Do this, do that. This is the way I want this done. This is the way." And in the meantime, the plane was going around in circles because they couldn't open the door. And when the noise became much, the captain added petrol to the fire. Maybe he didn't realize that. He said, "Why are you so agitated? After all, the firefighters at Heathrow are very efficient." "Ah, firefighters. You mean we are going to burn?" In the meantime, while everybody was screaming, I was cool. Because the greater one is dwelling in me. And after we finished talking, the door opened. And we landed very safely. I want you to stand on your feet and cry to the Almighty God. I say, "Prince of Peace, come and dwell in me. Come and dwell in me. Stay put in my heart. Prince of Peace, stay put in my heart. Come and dwell in me. Come and stay put. Come and stay put. Let me have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Come and dwell in me, Lord. Prince of Peace, come. Come and dwell in me. Come and dwell in me." "Thank you, my Father. Come and dwell in me. Prince of Peace, come and dwell. Come and dwell. Come and dwell in me. So that for the rest of my life, I will have peace. Whatever may be happening, I just want to be at peace." "Come and dwell in me, Lord. Come and dwell in me. Come and dwell, so that I will have peace. And that I will have peace. Oh Lord, come and dwell in me. Come and dwell with me. Prince of Peace, come and make your abode with me. Stay put in my heart. Stay put. my heart. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. I want to close because I still have other things ahead for tonight. Thank you, Father. You know, occasionally like this, I hear a song. And when I hear a song, I know somebody's about to sing that song. And the song that I'm hearing now is, I have joy like a river. Joy like a river. Joy like a river in my soul. I have joy like a river. Joy like a river. Joy like a river in my soul. Who is the one who will sing that song very soon? If you had one, let me hear you shout hallelujah. As long as the greater one is in you, you are stronger than your enemies. As long as he's dwelling in you, let them try all they can. They are the one who will get tired, not you. I've said it, the Holy Spirit is like air. You know, when the Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory, and he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Like I discussed with you at the Holy Communion last night. The Holy Spirit is just like an ordinary air. You can't see it. You can't hold it. But as long as it's in a football, 22 people will kick that ball from morning to evening. It is those kicking the ball that will get tired, not the ball. I've given the example of an aeroplane. I don't want to teach you mathematics, not tonight. But the aeroplane, huge, 747 for example, carrying more than 500 people with their luggages and everything, comes in to land at a terrific speed. Speed close to 300 kilometers per hour, at times more. Mathematically, scientifically speaking, the impact of that thing on the ground is enormous. But the tires, because of the air in them, will take that tremendous impact and say to the plane, is that all you can do? The plane keeps landing day after day, months after month, years after, as long as there is air in the tires. They will keep on saying, try harder. As long as the greater one is in you, you can tell all enemies, do your worst. Because I will overcome. How many overcomers are here tonight? Let me hear you shout hallelujah. So I'm going to give you 15 minutes to pray. And your prayer this time will be with confidence. If you want to come to the altar, you are welcome. You're going to just cry to the Almighty God. Ah, dwell in me. Dwell in my family. Dwell in my business. If he can just come and dwell, all these problems will soon be over. It doesn't matter what the enemy may be trying. You will overcome. So go to him and just talk to him. Tell him all your problems. Tell him the one that is the all-sufficient God. Just dwell in me so that I will overcome anything that the enemy may throw at me. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Tell him, come and dwell in me. Then I will overcome sickness. I will overcome disease. I will overcome fear. I will overcome mountains. I will overcome anything the enemy can throw at me. Just dwell in me, Lord. Dwell. Dwell in me.
mighty name we have prayed. The all-sufficient God, we grant your request. It will dwell in your heart. It will dwell in your marriages. It will dwell in your homes. It will dwell in your families. It will dwell in your churches. It will dwell in your offices. And the strength that comes from within, that strength that only God living in you can give, He will release to you today. You will overcome. Every attack of the enemy will bounce back to sender. All those who want you dead, you will bury them. All those who want to keep you down, you will be higher than they. Your victory will be total. Your joy will overflow. You will have joy like a river. You will have peace like a river. That kind of faith that can get anything from God, God will give you today. It shall be well with you. And you will serve God to the end. So shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Let someone shout hallelujah. God bless you. You can return to your seats.